Today, the book of Job, chapter 35. Job, chapter 35. I want to read two verses today in this precious chapter, verses 10 and 11. And my message title today is simply this: Where is God? Where is God? Verses 10 and 11. Job, chapter 35, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "But none saith, Where is God, my Maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven?" And you'll notice, of course, that's in the form of a question. But the question is, where is God? I want to spend my next few minutes dealing with that very topic theme. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, this morning as we approach the throne room of grace, we're glad that it is indeed a throne of grace. Dear Lord, if it wasn't, we'd all be hurting. But thank you today for the grace of God. And I pray today for the names mentioned already on the prayer list. And I pray for those that will give testimony of their identity with the risen Lord by being baptized in a few moments. I pray now your blessings upon the preaching of the Word of God. Speak to hearts this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question, where is God? At this point of time in Job's life, one of his so-called friends by the name of Elihu was lecturing Job. Actually, what he's saying, he is making the point, attempting to make the case that the afflicted do not call out to God for help. They're not saying as they should be saying, where is God? So that's basically the thesis or the argument of Elihu. I take that question and I think of where we are today in our society. I think of many people today that are asking in a similar way. They're saying, where is God? Many people wonder, they say, where is God? Because it seems that when I pray, He's silent. It seems like I call upon Him, but I do not hear from Him. Where is God when I pray? Some people today would try to think for a moment that where is God when you see bad things happening to good people? Where is God? Why does God allow that to happen? How can bad things happen to good people? Then sometimes it seems in our own lives, I don't care how close to God we are, there are times in our lives where perhaps it would seem like we wonder, where's the Lord? It seems like I cannot get an answer. It seems like maybe God has forgotten about me. Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? I can assure you today of a few things in reference to that question. I can assure you the answer will not come from the segment in our society who are campaigning against God. The answer also will not come from a secular college professor who's been planted in an Ivy League institution by left-wing radicalism seeking to brainwash the minds of our youth. You'll never hear the answer to that question, where is God? I'm here to say today that His presence and voice will never be silent, for He still wears the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know where He is. He sits on the throne in glory. We know where He is. He's not abandoned this earth. We know where He is. Could I attempt this morning to simply answer that question in some practical ways? Let me begin first of all today, as we think of that question, where is God? I say to all of us this morning, simply look up. Where is God? Look up. He's still on the throne. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Asaph said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" The first thing that John saw in the book of Revelation, when John, there on the Isle of Patmos, the first thing that John saw was a throne. Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and behold a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. The first thing that John saw was a throne. I want to say this morning that God is on the throne. Could I go on record and say that the vile, wicked, perverted, depraved specimens of human race will never dethrone God? Satan tried and it didn't work. And we can rest assured no one will ever dethrone God. I want to say this morning, in spite of what man would think would be some kind of a threat against the Almighty, God is on the throne. Things might get pretty tough in this world, but you can rest assured God hasn't budged an inch. Where is God? I say, look up. Where is God? I say, look at what you have. Look at what you have. He's behind every blessing you and I have received. He daily loads us with benefits. You're breathing the air that God provides. You're eating food that He calls the earth to grow. You're wearing clothes made possible by the earthly resources that God created. Where is God? Look what you have. What you have is an evidence there's a God who takes care of people. He waters the flowers. He clothes the lily with its splendor and beauty. He takes care of creation. This is a wonderful time of the year. I love summer. Of course, it's hitting out pretty quickly, it seems. But the activity of life in summertime amazes me. I guess you could say maybe I'm a little bit of a bird watcher. I enjoy watching hummingbirds. It's amazing how those little creatures come flying in and eat that sweet water that we provide for them. And then they just... And it's amazing. All of the creation that God has put in order is a testimony of how wonderful and powerful Almighty God really is. The beauty of creation is a testimony. Where is God? My answer is look up. Where is God? My answer is look what you have. You and I are blessed. He's been good to us. The same people out there that attempt to deny Him are being blessed by Him. Where is God? Look up. Where is God? Look what you have. Where is God? Thirdly, I say look around. Not only look up, not only look what you have, but look around. I see God's hand in life. I see His hand in creation. I see His master stroke in the morning sky, lit up by the rising of the sun. I see that same glorious artist of the universe painting the stroke of golden hue of the setting sun at evening time. I see the artist work in the petal of a rose, in the wild flowers brightening the meadow. I don't even have to stretch the imagination to factor in the goodness of God, in the sweet smell of the honeysuckle, the blooming of the dogwood as an extra greeting of spring. I see the gentleness of God in the smile of a baby and the sincerity of a child. I see the power of God in the flash of lightning. I see the peace of God in the face of a dying saint. I see the grace of God in the conversion of a sinner. While many people today are saying God is nowhere, we say He's now here. That's the difference. That's the difference. Where is God? Look around. The sun came up this morning. Clouds are in the sky. The earth is still spinning, revolving around the sun. Creation bears testimony that God is. Where is God? I say, look up. Where is God? I say, look at what you have. Where is God? I say, look around. Where is God? I say, look at yourself. Who are you? Or what are you? We're not the final phase of an evolutionary process that brought us from a tadpole to a monkey and then a human. We know that. Once a tadpole, long and slim. Then a frog with his tail tucked in. Now a monkey swinging from a tree. And guess, look at me now, I'm a PhD. That's not how it happened. Verse 10. Where is God? Look at yourself. None saith, where is God, my maker? There's the answer. My maker. God breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The psalmist said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Where is God? Look at yourself. Yes, we're here today, not because of an evolutionary process. We're here today because God is a giver of life. And I honestly believe today I have to touch this light and move on. Time will not permit. But I believe that mankind has blood flowing from his hands every time he aborts a precious little baby. Where is God? Look at yourself. I think of him as creator. I think of him in another way as recreator. He's a giver of physical life. But guess what? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Where is God? Look at yourself. He is a creator. And thank God through grace, he is a recreator. Made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Where is God? I say, look up. Where is God? I say, look what we have. Where is God? I say, look around. Where is God? I say, look at yourself. Now, let's move on. Where is God? You may find this a little interesting, but here's how I want to present it. Where is God? I say, listen to what we sing. Let me show you. Look, please, at verse number 10. Who giveth songs in the night? Where's God? I say, listen to what we sing. He gives songs in the night. What do you sing? I would say, why do you sing? And then I would say, when do you sing? I believe today the people of God are a singing people. I believe today that the people of God are people of music. And I'm not arguing the case necessarily for a choir. I'm not arguing the case for a trio. I'm not arguing the case for a duet. I'm not arguing that case. I'm saying basically now when God saves us, we have a song in our heart. And thank God we even sing at night. That's what it says, right? He giveth songs in the night. We can sing a night song. Could I suggest this morning that one night song is more valuable than 50-day songs? Think about that. One night song. Spurgeon one time did say this. He said, it's easy to sing when you can read the notes. But not all the time can you read the notes. What about when the bottom drops out? What about when health problems go south? What about when burdens come? What about when grief sets in? We can still sing. He gives songs in the night. Where's God? I'd say, look at what you sing. We sing a song of redemption. We sing a song of joy. We sing a song of happiness. We can sing when no one else can sing. We can sing when the burdens are heavy. We can sing when the night falls. We can sing when we hurt. We can sing when we cannot find an earthly song. Thank God we've still got a song in our heart. The song of redemption. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Where is God? Listen to what you sing. That'll answer. That'll answer. Paul and Silas sang a midnight song. Acts 16. In prison. Midnight they sang. Paul said, these things write unto you that your joy might be full. Ephesians 1:13 or verse 3. The psalmist said, then was my mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Listen to what you sing. I used to try to sing. Well, let me put it this way. I used to sing before I got saved. Y'all are going to laugh when I tell you something about myself, but I done told you enough already to ruin me. Please don't tell anybody outside this church. I can remember a little teenage girl I used to date, and I probably already told you. I'd drive all through the country, and I'd sing to her. I didn't know the Lord back in them days. I sang country music to her. No wonder the relationship didn't get serious after my singing. Carol really loved to hear me sing. We'd sing Can't Take Nothing for My Journey Now, didn't we? Where is God? Listen to what you sing now. Squire Parsons wrote the song, I've been singing about the Lord for so many years. I've sung when I've been happy, even sung when I've had tears. I've even had folks ask me if it's all just a show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home, where I shall sing through all eternity. I've sung to those walking through the fiery trial. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. I've bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you He's always given victory. Yes, where's God? Look at what you sing. He giveth songs in the night. He helps us to be able to rejoice in the nighttime. He causes us to look beyond the ceilings that seems to be closing in on us. And look beyond the current realm in which we're living and to see His smiling face. And to recognize His love and know that we still have hope and peace and confidence in the future. That's what grace will do. Where is God? Look up. Where is God? Look what you have. Where is God? Look around. Where is God? Look at yourself. Where is God? Listen to what you sing. And finally, where is God? Look at what you know. Verse 11, look at what you know. Where is God? Look at what you know. Verse 11, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. Look at what we know. You cannot drive the truth out of a child of God. You cannot drive that truth out of them. We can say today, by the grace of God, I know whom I have believed, am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We can put the word know in that statement. I know. We know He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, how did we learn what we know is a question. Well, the answer is in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. Where is God? Look at what we know. Here's what's happened. The blessed Spirit of God has set up His classroom in the heart of the redeemed. We're learning to love Him. We're learning to lean on Him. We're learning to listen to Him. And we long to see Him. Where is God? Look at what we know. We know things differently now. We know what the world doesn't know. We don't have to be made sad by reading the newspaper. We don't have to be glued to the television set when the news is given. We get our news from a higher source, thank God. Our news has more content. You see, sickness, when you stop and think about it, sickness does not strip us from the basic knowledge of Him. How many sick and delirious people have we known down through the years that perk up on their sick beds when they hear the name of Jesus? That's happened to me many times. I've known people to get so delusional, sick, mind affected when it came to the illness they had. But you stand there beside them and you mention the name Jesus. You share a Bible verse. And I'll tell you, there's a sweetness and a peace and a calm and a smile that comes on their faces. Where's God? Look at what we know. You cannot strip that knowledge of God from that person. You can't take that away. Because the Lord Himself in the person of the Spirit of God indwells a believer. And He's teaching us and directing us and helping us along the way. It thrills me that the expression of gratitude and joy kicks in quickly when a person gets saved. I have a friend over in West Virginia. I've mentioned him before. Here's what I'm saying. It's amazing to me how gratitude kicks in so quickly when you get saved and you appreciate the Lord. Denver Blake over in West Virginia, every year, his church is involved in going down to the State Fair of West Virginia. They'll set up a booth and people will be walking by where he's set up, and they'll tell them about the Lord and have an opportunity to witness to them, and they've led many people to the Lord that way. I was talking to Denver this past week. Here's what he told me happened. He said they were set up there a couple weeks ago at the state fair, and this young teenage girl came walking by, and Brother Denver said, "Could I talk to you a few moments?" She was carrying a bouquet of flowers. Denver said, "Could I talk to you for a few moments?" He took the Bible. He showed her how to be saved. The fountains of her soul was broken up. She began to weep. She asked God to save her. She walks out of that tent, goes her way. In a few minutes, she comes back. She said, "Could I give you these flowers?" She was so thrilled to know the Lord. You know what? That question can easily be answered, can it? Where is God? Look up. Where is God? Look at what you have. Where is God? Look around. Where is God? Look at yourself. Where is God? Listen to what you sing. And where is God? Look at what you know. We know things the world's intelligentsia do not know. Why? We've tapped into the resource of God and His Word and His grace. I'm glad this morning I can say this. You ask me how. I know He lives. He lives within my heart. But I've got a bigger reason than that to give that assurance statement. I know He lives because His Word says so. But I do know this too, though. I know that when He moved in, despair went out. And God gave a song in the night. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're in the right place at the right time, and that can be settled today. You can know the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.